Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
Thank you.
Well, I want to say, I want to tell you, I want to say, when you can do what you want to do and go where you want to go and live where you want to live and love who you want to love and be what you want to be. Join what you want to join.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right. Okay. Thank you. I could just feel that all over everywhere, so, you know. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're starting a brand new week, folks, with brand new guests scheduled to be here. And we'll see how that goes. You know, this is radio. Okay, this is radio. And it is another beautiful day in the city of Chicago. I hope it's beautiful wherever you are in the world. I really do mean that, okay? Because we don't need to be having bad weather, storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, you know, floods, mountain slides, mudslides, and stuff like that. We don't need to be in the middle of all of that stuff, you know. So it's quiet, peaceful, lovely, beautiful. bright, sunshiny days, moonlit nights, you know. It's just beautiful, humid, moonlit, nice under the moonlight. I'm not trying to plug one of my stories, okay? But I really do hope that it's very, very nice where you are and you're in a great mood. You're in a wonderful mood. You're not sad. You're not depressed. You're not down. You're not blaming the world for your troubles, you know, things like that. You're just feeling good and positive and upbeat and taking on the world, okay? Because this is what the George Wilder Jr. Show is all about, is making the world a better place one show at a time. It doesn't matter how or what you use in order to make the world a better place. It could be a smile. It could be helping someone across the street. It could be, you know, sending someone a get well letter or something, or sending someone a happy birthday. It doesn't matter. It's just making someone's day, in other words, could be just as potent when it comes to someone's day who probably have been down and depressed and feeling lonely and out of it. You know, I know what it's feel like to feel like you're worthless. People should never feel as though they're worthless. People should never feel that way. But there's people who are. Depression is a sickness. It is a disease. It will kill you. So don't be or feel down in the dumps. Always try to have the greatest day possible, because you know, it's gonna live. You live longer, and get out and get some exercise. You know, drink a lot of water. All right, my guest today is international sports broadcaster Richard Parr on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and the George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Be nice to one another out there. Don't be mean. I mean, don't be. You don't have to be mean and nasty and grouchy and ornery. You know, that's not making the world a better place. Be nice to people. I mean, if someone's nice to you, be nice back. If there's no need to hate someone, do not hate anybody. This show is not about hate. I don't even want anybody who is hateful to even be listening to the show. Don't even turn it on. Don't even think about it. Don't even call in or decide that you want to be a guest on the show. If you have hate in your heart, this show is not about that. This show is not, I mean, think about it. I mean, this show is about making the world a better place. I mean, if it was about hate, that would not be making the world a better place, okay? So be nice to one another out there. It's just so nice. It is so nice to be nice. And it's so easy to be nice. People out there arguing and disagreeing, being upset, and then go home and get a gun and come back and shoot somebody. That's not making the world a better place. It really isn't. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Like I said, international sportscaster Richard Parr is on the George Wilder Jr. Show today. Growth in one area of our life while the others suffer is not self-development. It is self-centeredness. Okay, saying for the day, a smart quiz question. We got to get back to that. I haven't done the segment on the smart quiz question in a very long while, and I really like doing it. So at one point, somewhere down the line, we're going to reinstitute that, because I thought that was a great, you know, part of the show. All right, making the world a better place one show at a time. George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. We, as you probably have heard, as you probably know, there is more drama in Trumpville. It just keeps on coming, Donald Trump. It just keeps on coming. I know you're tired of Donald Trump. You're tired of me talking about him. You're tired of the news. You're tired of this. But this is America. This is America, folks, and this is just crazy. It's lunacy. It's I've heard people say, and I've read some of the things that people have posted, and I feel the same way. I have lost total respect for the White House. I have. I mean, I have totally lost it. I mean, I have no respect And this is the first time I've ever felt that way in my entire life. I've always looked up at the presidency as a sacred place, as a place that young people strive to get to, and a place that young people strive for. How many times have we told our young children that you can be anything you want it to be, even the president of the United States? Now, I don't tell my kids that. And I said, if you want to be something, go be a doctor, be a lawyer, be a clerk in a convenience store or something. But do not be the president of the United States. It's not a good place right now. And it is horrible the way these people have taken down the presidency. And it is doubly horrible that we've got a Congress of Republicans letting this man do this. We are the United States. We've lost so much traction in the world. It's a shame. Our status in the world has plummeted very, very low. We have no status in the world. We're down there. At one time, we were number one or somewhere there in the 1 to 5 category of all the countries in the world. And there is probably over 200 countries in the world or more. And we're down there in the gutter. There's no doubt about it. We are the laughingstock of the world. People see the United States, other countries see the United States, and they laugh at us. They joke at us because they know we have a joke of a president. A lot of the leaders in the other countries, they don't want anything to do with the United States. Whatever initiative that they're going to go for and try to achieve, they're going to try to achieve it without the United States. This is where Donald Trump and his crooks have brought us. And they continue to let, in some cases, you can blame this on Congress, the Republicans in Congress. They have the power to impeach him. They have the power to get him out. But they will not do it. I don't know what the hell it is. They're going to wait till this man does something really catastrophic before, and that's catastrophic, maybe irreversible. He's going to do some total irreparable damage to the United States before they decide to do anything. And I've told people time and time again, if your representative in Congress refuse to represent your interest and they rather kiss Donald Trump's butt, then you've got November 2018 coming up. Vote their butts out. Put them out of work. You put them out of work, you take away their health care. Because what? They're trying to take away yours. They're trying to keep you from going to the doctor. They're letting this maniac ruin America. They're letting this unpresidential president, this fake president, this crazy narcissistic and fascist president take America into the swamp, into the sewer. That is where we are with this president. So we got to do a lot better, folks. I mean, we're people. There's 324 million people in the United States and just a few assholes in Congress. Now you tell me who really has the power. Who has the power? We have the power. The people of the United States, we have the power. It's 324 million of us. And you mean to tell me we're going to let these few assholes in Congress dictate what's right and what's wrong to all of us, tell us what to do, try to bring us down to their level of craziness and stupidity and heartlessness? No, we're not going to do that. We are not going to do that. You know, so we just have to get up and throw these people out. I mean, if it has to be physically, you know, I mean, you know, some of these Republicans in Congress, they're not going to really get it unless they're thrown out physically, not just walk into their office and just throw their asses out of the office, out onto the street, out onto the curve. Maybe they'll get the message then. But apparently they're not getting the message. These people are letting Donald Trump just have his way with this country, bring it down to its knees, below its knees. And they're running from show to show, television camera to television camera, trying to convince the American people that Donald Trump is a great president. And we all know that's a damn lie. Donald Trump conned his way into the office. There is no doubt about it. He conned his way. He lied his way. He clowned and BS'd his way into the presidential Oval Office. And it's been going down and sinking ever since he's taken over. That he's taken over. And it is just a real big sham. It is a sham on top of a sham. It's ridiculous and it's embarrassing and it's embarrassing. So we're just going to have to vote these guys and girls out of Congress in 2018. So get your voting hand ready, because we're going to do some house cleaning. We're going to get rid of Paul Ryan. We're going to get rid of if he's running in 2018, we're going to get rid of that Mitch McConnell, that slob. We're going to get rid of a lot of them. And we're going to put the people in there. I'm not saying necessarily put in Democrats, but we're going to put in people who are going to bring this country back from where Donald Trump has taken it. And he has taken it to the streets. He's taken it really, really low. If you would like your product, service, or your book to be mentioned on the George Wilder Jr. Show twice a day, 4 days a week, right here on the George Wilder Jr. Show, just email the show or email its host for more details. Thank you. Donald Trump has fired another one of his White House staff, you know, someone they call Mooch, someone they call, I think his name is Sar Musky. I'm gonna check it out later and try to get the pronunciation right. But anyway, if you're following Donald Trump and his colossal mess, then you know who I'm talking about. He fired this guy, and this guy was only... He was only 10 days. He only worked for the administration for 10 days, and he was fired 10 days. Wow. And Donald Trump is tweeting that the White House is not in chaos. The White House has been in chaos since this guy been in office. And it's constantly in chaos. And every single damn day or week or hour, something is coming out of the White House. These are thugs. They're gangsters. They're malls. It's just crazy how the White House then suddenly turned black, you know, or gray, or it's not white anymore. It's a crime scene. That's what it is. The White House is a crime scene. And it is. I just can't wait to find out and to see what Mueller will dig out in this investigation. I'm hoping that it gets something on Trump. I don't know if this is going to be enough for the Republicans to impeach him, but I know it's more than enough for the American people to want him impeached. Republicans, I don't know what the hell these people are about. They're about their party. They're about their membership. They're about party bosses. They are not about the people who sent them to office. They are not about the folks they are supposedly representing, because they're representing nothing. They're representing nobody. They're representing themselves, their party, and their party bosses. They're representing Paul Ryan. That's who they're representing. The Republicans are representing Paul Ryan. They're not representing their people in the districts who put their butts in there. And the majority of them, those representatives in Congress, will be looking for a job in November, next November, 2018. And it will be your job, folks, to take their jobs away from them. Throw them out to the curb. Get rid of their health care. Remember, when you're a representative in Congress, you only have 2 years. Every 2 years, you're going to be reelected or you're going to get thrown out. And do you think a lot of these people want to lose their jobs? I think some of them do. I think some of these representatives in Congress who are not doing what the people want that they were voted in for, I don't think they care about losing their jobs. They care more about kissing Donald Trump's rump than doing their jobs for the people who have elected them. I actually think some of these Republicans are just saying, well, if I'm going to be out of work in 2018, at least I've done the right thing. I love Trump, you know. So, but my constituency do not. One of the things that when one of these representatives or these representatives are elected to Congress, they are given their jobs by the people of that district. The people of that district, they are the bosses. These guys in Congress are supposed to, they take oath to representing the people in their district, the people who representative, who have gave them those jobs. But they get there, they turn their backs on those people, and they vote for, and they do what Donald Trump wants them to do. Donald Trump is not their boss. Donald Trump did not hire them. Why are they kissing his feet? The people of the United States are their bosses. Donald Trump is a public servant. He doesn't think so. He thinks we're supposed to serve him. We're not serving him. That's a public servant job. He doesn't seem to realize that. Every job in Congress, whether you're a president of the United States, a senator, a representative, or you work for them, you are a servant of the people, not Donald Trump. They are siding with Donald Trump, then siding with the people of their district who gave them their jobs. That's crazy. But it's true. This is the main reason why they are not impeaching Donald Trump. The other reason is they want to try and get their legislation through. They want to try and get some main legislation through Congress and then maybe impeach him. But with all of Donald Trump's troubles and problems and the chaos at the White House, Donald Trump will not be able to get anything done, period. He's alienated too many people. He's thrown too many people that trusted him and liked him under the bus. I don't see how Congress could trust this guy. How do you trust him? If someone offered me a job to work with Donald Trump, I'd turn it down. I said, I don't want to work with this fool. I don't want to work with him because he's going to want loyalty. He's going to want me to kiss his ass. He's going to want me to treat him like he's a king or an emperor. I'm not going to do that. I'm here to serve the American people, not Donald Trump. But you got too many representatives in Congress. They don't think like that. They know he's stupid. They know he's an idiot. They know he doesn't know what he's doing. They know he doesn't know how to govern. His governability is just about as good as his golf swing. Zero. But they won't do anything about this guy. So if Donald Trump is in office by 2018, which is likely or not likely, we will vote in a new Congress who will put some actual checks and balance on this guy. He doesn't have much power because Congress then already limited some of his abilities because they know he's a psychopath, a nut, crazy. They know that. So they have limited some of his powers. And he hasn't had any big legislative accomplishments yet. This is why he's begging and egging them on to pass some kind of a health care bill, because he needs a win. Donald Trump doesn't want to sign a health care bill into law for the people. He wants to sign a health care bill into law so he can say, we won. That's it. You know, even though 30,000 or more people would be thrown off their health care, he doesn't give a damn. He just want to say, hey, wow, we won. We won. We got this. You know, and that's another thing. Donald Trump doesn't give two craps about the people of the United States. He doesn't. He doesn't give two craps about you, me, or anybody. What he cares about is making money, getting rich by being president of the United States. He's still profiting from his business. And that's an impeachable defense. He's been doing that for as long as he's been been president. And the Republicans will not do anything about that. If this was a Democrat, if this was Obama, this would not be happening. But this guy is still profiting from his businesses. His wife's and his daughters, his family, they're profiting from their business. They don't give a damn about the Constitution. The Republicans are letting this happen because somehow maybe Donald Trump is paying off these Republicans, giving them money or something. But I want to say this, those congressmen and women and the Senate, they weren't sent to Congress to hurt people. They were sent to Congress to help people, to help represent them in Congress with their vote. But you would think these guys and girls were sent to Congress to hurt people, to hurt America. That's crazy.
Making the world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right.
Closed captioning brought to you by InventHelp. Call 1-800-900-0202.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now for free information.
This is GPS, the Global Public Square. Welcome to all of you in the United States and around the world. I'm Fareed Zakaria coming to you.
When I first saw the tweet this morning, I was frankly disgusted. I thought to myself, this dude has got such a fixation with women and blood. What is wrong with him? And then you remember that this dude, this disgusting dude, is the president of the United States. And you realize just how much he is diminishing the presidency of the United States. You realize that what he is doing is not just acting for Donald Trump. He's acting for all of us. He's acting for our president. And he is embarrassing. He is shameful. He is disgusting. And I'll say this about Republicans. I'm really tired of hearing words like disappointed, like disturbed, like I'm bothered, like I wish he wouldn't do it. It's time that somebody looks at the camera and looks at him and calls him up and says, listen, you crazy lunatic 70-year-old man, baby, stop it. You are now the president of the United States, the commander in chief, and you need to stop acting like a mean girl because we just won't take it. We won't vote with you. We won't work with you. I can't start talking about tax reform. I can't start talking about health care reform because I can't get past the fact that we have a president who lacks the sufficient character. We have a president who is mean. We have a president who is nasty. We have a president who is immature, unstable, and just acts like a crazy person with anybody who attacks him because he's got thin skin and he is never going to pivot. And anybody around him, whether it's his daughter, his chief of staff, his wife, who I remind you had said her signature issue was going to be fighting against online bullying, or any Republican on the Hill, stop enabling him. Confront this and confront this hard, or it will never stop, and it will embarrass all of us. It will take the presidency low, low, low.
People working within the Donald Trump White House understand that Trump is pretty much a dangerous individual because of his explosive temper and erratic behavior. But earlier this week, Newsweek reported that people within the Trump administration are growing even more afraid because, according to people that work in the White House, White House aides, Donald Trump will not stop yelling at his television. And it's because of all the coverage of the Trump Jr. meeting and all the Kushner stuff and the Manafort and the Comey and the Russia and Trump's lawyer. Everything right now is wall-to-wall basically negative about Donald Trump, with the exception of Fox News. And Donald Trump is so angry, so bitter, that he can't control himself. And according to people in the White House, he is just screaming at the TV when he's not rage-tweeting. What's interesting about this is that Donald Trump is such a thin-skinned little, to borrow a word from the Republicans, snowflake, that he cannot put his personal rage aside and function as a human being. Could you imagine what would happen if we got reports like this from the Obama White House? Was he screaming at the TV when people like Donald Trump were saying that he wasn't even born in the United States, that his birth certificate was fake, that he's from Kenya, that he's a Muslim, that he's palling around with terrorists? Could you imagine if Obama behaved in this manner? No, he didn't. You know why? Because he was a grown-up. He wasn't a man-child with the mentality of a toddler angry that the commercials came on in the middle of his favorite TV show. Obama was an adult. He was mature and responsible. He understood that people didn't like him and were saying these untrue things. And you know what he did? He ignored it. He joked about it because he didn't care. You know, somebody like him has
Donald
gone through his
Trump
whole life.
Cares,
you know, having a white mother and a black father. People picked on him. You know, it wasn't easy for him. He put himself through law school, became president of the United States. He worked his way from the bottom to the absolute top. He took all the slings and arrows along the way. He understands that you can't let every little thing bother you, or else you'll never get anywhere in life. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, a guy who's literally had everything in his life handed to him, doesn't understand that. He doesn't understand what hard work and dedication mean. He doesn't understand how to just let things go and focus on the task at hand, regardless of what the naysayers are saying. He doesn't get that. And that is just one of the very many reasons why this man is ill-equipped and should not be serving as president of the United States. Furthermore, for those people who work in the White House to have to live in a constant state of fear because they don't know how Donald Trump's going to respond at any given time to any given news, that is disgusting. That is unfair to those people. Yeah, they chose those jobs. They might stay there, but the job market kind of sucks right now, so you can't really blame them for that. But they are living in fear. They've admitted they're living in fear. And that's what Donald Trump is, and that's what his disgusting, unstable personality is breeding within that White House. If you like this video, make sure...
I totally agree. I think that they are living in fear. I mean, how can you work for someone who you can't, whom you cannot trust? You cannot trust because you're loyal to... I mean, a lot of his employees in the White House, they're loyal to Donald Trump, but Donald Trump is not loyal to them. He will throw them under the bus. He will kick them under the White House, you know, and like it. You know, I mean, Donald Trump is not a successful businessman, folks. The art of the deal, that's a joke. That was BS. And it's been said over and over again, a businessman is not qualified to be president of the United States, not qualified to be governor, because they try to run the country like a business, and that's not the way to run the country. Donald Trump still doesn't know 2 cents about governing. Donald Trump, if there's 50 people in the room with Donald Trump thinks he's the smartest person there. You got lawyers, doctors, you got psychiatrists, you got all kind of professional people around him. People with 3 or 4 doctorates, PhD degrees, lawyers who have tried all kinds of cases, litigated all kinds of cases, and other smart people. And Donald Trump thinks he's the smartest person there. This is why he doesn't listen to anybody. He doesn't listen to his lawyers. He doesn't listen to the public because he doesn't give a damn about people. He thinks he's the smartest person in the room when in actuality, he's the dumbest person in the room because he will not listen. He will not learn because he thinks he knows. He thinks that his money, in other words, to Donald Trump, his money talks. He feels if he's got more money than you do, than we do, then he's smarter than we are. That's a dumb concept, but that's probably how he thinks. He thinks in terms of dollars. And this special counsel, Robert Mueller, who is in charge of the investigation into Russia. Well, we're going to find out more about Donald's finances, how rich he really is, and if he's been getting money or giving money to the Russians. And Donald Trump was really, really pissed the other day when he found out that Robert Mueller, the special counsel that he wants to fire, is going to be checking into his finances. He was so pissed. I mean, he was naturally born pissed. And he, in some cases, a lot of people say, still obstructing justice right out there in your face. And obstruction of justice is an impeachment offense. Donald Trump doesn't give a damn. And there was a time he asked the Republicans to protect their president. Ain't that something? Republicans, as if he's some sort of mob boss, gangster mafia type, Don type boss. And I've always felt that the White House was like that. I mean, gangsters, and have you ever watched the 1972 movie, The Godfather, with Marlon Brando and Al Pacino and what's this other guy, Robert Duvall and others? This is what this is like. Maybe it's even worse than that in the White House with Donald Trump. I mean, he's the kingpin in the White House. You know, they have just trashed it. They've trashed it because a lot of Americans, we have no respect for the White House. Not this White House anyway. And a lot of us have never disrespected the White House. I mean, even with George W. Bush, when he served as president of the United States, a lot of us had problems with him because he, you know. But he was nowhere near or as bad or as effed up as this White House is. Donald Trump will go down in history as the worst president of the United States ever. He will go down in history as the most corrupt, the most dangerous, the dumbest, the stupidest. Tweeting policy. He tweets policy. Instead of getting Congress together and they discuss whatever he wants to discuss, he has to tweet it so the whole world can see how stupid he is. I mean, because there's no doubt about it. When Donald Trump tweets, the whole world sees it. Every country in the United States sees this guy, sees this man tweet, and he could tweet out classified documents. He could tweet out secrets. Tweet, 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 tweet. And I'm pretty sure his lawyers have told him to stop it. But once again, Donald Trump is the smartest person in the room. So he doesn't. Donald Trump does what he wants to do. Donald Trump wants you to be loyal, pledge your loyalty to him. And he will drop you by the bus. He will drop you under the bus. He will not only fire you, he will drop you so far under the damn bus, your head is spinning. Like I said, I don't know why people would want to work for him. Because when you're working for Donald Trump, I mean, it's like you're like walking on eggshells. You don't know when he's going to come out screaming and yelling and bitching because something didn't go right. Somebody said something nasty about him, or somebody didn't do the right thing, or he felt they weren't doing their job to make him they weren't doing their job good enough to make him look good. I don't think anybody can make Donald Trump look good or sound good. Kellyanne Conway tries. It doesn't work. So this White House, there is no doubt about it, folks. This White House is in total chaos. And there is no other way to say it. If Donald Trump comes out and says, well, everything's all right, folks, he's lying. How many people have been fired from key positions in the White House since he's been president? About maybe 6 or 7 or 8, but do not count the people that have been let go that didn't have the high ranking as some of these other people have that have been let go in the White House. It's been lots of people. It's been more than 5 or 6 or 7. It may have been 10, 20, or 30 people let go. The rank and file, I'm pretty sure, has been let go by some of those people who work for Donald Trump. You know, because they don't like him. They don't like their status. They don't like what they're saying about Donald Trump. They're not loyal. And Donald Trump is a person, there's no doubt about it. If you study Donald Trump, if you know something a little bit about him, you know that when he hires somebody, he wants loyalty. In other words, loyalty is just saying, if I commit a crime, do not say anything about it, because it's not about the American people. It's about me, Donald Trump. It's all about Donald Trump. It's all about him, making him look good, and his family. I don't like talking about people's family because I love family. I think family is the backbone of any, backbone of any family. A family is a backbone of family. But Donald Trump's family, I mean, they are not qualified to even be. Donald Trump's wife, for instance, is not qualified to be called first lady. She doesn't know. She's nowhere in comparison with Michelle Obama. I mean, she plagiarized Michelle Obama's speech at the GOP convention, if you can recall that. She plagiarized her speech. I mean, blatantly plagiarized it. I mean, how dumb could somebody do that? Go rip off somebody else's speech and read it on the air with millions and millions and millions of people watching you and not realize that she's read somebody else's speech, calling it her own. And Donald Trump and these fools forgave her for it. You know, that's right out thievery. That was stupid, really. They didn't think that Michelle Obama was going to recognize her speech being read at the Republican convention by Donald Trump's wife. Give me a break. You know, so it's just horrific at this White House. This White House is just totally horrific.
Category.
I was just thinking, like, I know I'm being outrageously vague about this, but I don't even
get sick and the poor.
Trump's got a budget.
To the top one.
Trump's got a budget. I mean, he can't get anything through Congress. He can't. I mean, he's got a budget he wants to get through. Healthcare has failed, but they're going to keep reviving it until it passes because the healthcare is in their hands, not in the Democrats. They're going to keep trying to bring it up and pass it, and it's going to keep failing. And they're going to look stupid every time they bring it out to try to pass it, and it fails, and it falls on its face again. They're going to keep trying because Trump is going to tell them that, you know, they're losers if they can't. The Republicans in Senate, he's going to tell them that they're losers if they can't pass a health care bill. Donald Trump really wants to win more than he wants to see millions of people thrown off their health care. He doesn't give a damn. He wants a win. He wants to say, "Wow, I won this. We did this together. I won this." But the people of America is stopping him, and he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. Every time that Obamacare repeal fails, it's a people win. These senators, they have people back home in their states who say they don't want this. But you got so many, you had 49 Republicans vote for this bill. That means those 49 Republican senators in Congress who voted for to throw off millions of people off their health care, they should be voted out of office because they stood lockstep with Donald Trump. They stood lockstep with him. But Donald Trump is saying, "I don't own the bill." But yet he keeps asking them to, every time the bill goes down in flames, he keeps asking them to bring the bill back up, bring it back up, vote for it again, bring it back up. But it's going to fail again because the same people who didn't vote for it then, they're not going to vote for it again. Donald Trump can't get that through his thick head. But there is something. The Republicans are trying to move on in Congress. They're trying to say, "Hey, well, the health care bill, let's go on to the budget. The health care bill has failed. Let's go on to taxation." But they can't. They can't. You know why they can't? Because Donald Trump, there's always something coming out of Donald Trump's ass. And then there's another controversy, another bombshell, another something crazy coming out of the White House, like firing of this Sir Mucci. They call him Mooch. After only 10 days, and this guy should have been fired. He should have been fired after 5 days because he was using bad gutter, ghetto language in the White House. And at some of these interviews that he was doing, the guy just used profanity-laced tyrant against some White House personnel that he thought was leaking. Bad gutter. This is why I'm saying the White House has sunken to the sewer level. And the Republicans in Congress, they're letting these things happen. But Trump cannot get his budget through. He can't because he's got all this other stuff he's got to get through. And the American people, and I don't know how this guy can govern, really. If you don't have the people on your side, how in the hell can you get anything done? And the majority of the people of the United States, at least 80% of the people, want to see this man out of office. And they know it. The Republicans know it. You got 100 senators in Congress, 100 senators in the Senate in Congress. And each and every one of them have constituency, people who voted for them. And the majority of the constituency for all 100 of those senators in Congress, they dislike Trump. They dislike Trump. With a vengeance. They dislike this man. But will those senators go and impeach him? No. They're aiding and abetting him. They're aiding and abetting him. So that makes them just as much corrupt and criminal as Donald Trump and the thugs in the White House. And the budget, they got a hell of a budget. Here's Bernie Sanders talking about it.
To the top 1%.
Bernie Sanders, folks.
It follows in the footsteps of the Trump-Ryan health care bill, which gives huge tax breaks to the wealthiest few while throwing 24 million Americans off of their health insurance and dramatically raising premiums for older workers. This is a budget which says that if you are the richest family in America, the Walton family, you can get up to a $53 billion tax break through the repeal of the estate tax. $53 billion tax break. But at the same time, it says that if you are a lower income senior citizen, you will not be able to get the one nutritious meal a day you now receive through the Meals on Wheels program or the help you desperately need if you are disabled. This is a budget that says that if you are the second wealthiest family in America, the Koch brothers family, a family that has contributed many hundreds of millions of dollars into the Republican Party, you may get up to a $34 billion tax break. But at the same time, if you are a working class student trying to figure out how you could possibly afford college, your dream of a college education will evaporate because of major cuts to student financial assistance programs. This is a budget which says that if you are a member of the Trump family, you may receive a tax break of up to $4 billion. But if you are a child of a working class family, you could well lose the health insurance you currently have through the Children's Health Insurance Program and massive cuts to Medicaid. At a time when we remain the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all, this budget makes a bad situation worse in terms of health care. In other words, this is a budget that provides massive tax breaks for billionaires and corporate CEOs and massive cuts to programs that tens of millions of struggling Americans depend upon. When Donald Trump campaigned for president, he told the American people that he would be a different type of Republican, that he would take on the political and economic establishment, that he would stand up for working people, that he understood the pain that families all across this country were experiencing. Well, sadly, this budget exposes all of that verbiage for what it really was, just cheap and dishonest campaign rhetoric that was meant to get votes, nothing more than that. At a time when the very rich are already getting much richer, while the middle class continues to shrink, this is a budget for the billionaire class, for Wall Street, for corporate CEOs, and for the wealthiest people in this country. This is a budget which will make it harder for our children to get a decent education, harder for working families to get the health care they desperately need, harder for families to put food on the table, harder to protect our environment, and harder for the elderly to live out their retirement years in dignity. This is a budget that is immoral and that will cause an enormous amount of pain for the most vulnerable people in our nation. This is a budget that will be rejected by the American people and must not see the light of day here in Congress. John Yarmuth is the ranking member of the Budget Committee in the House. John, thanks a lot for being with us.
The budget released today by the Trump administration is shockingly extreme and the antithesis of what the American people have said they want from their government. The president's budget leaves no question about what his administration values: greater gains for millionaires, corporations, and special interests at the expense of American families, economic progress, and our national security. It is a total embrace of the Robin Hood in reverse mentality we saw with the Republican health care repeal bill and the administration's tax proposal, both of which have been overwhelmingly rejected by the American people. This budget actually targets assistance for people with disabilities, cutting Social Security disability insurance, despite the president's pledge to not touch Social Security at all. Yes, the president's budget is a betrayal, a line-by-line tally of broken promises he made to the American people. But above all, it's a trail of broken dreams and the loss of hope and opportunity for millions of families. This budget starts by taking away health care, then food, then housing, then education, then job opportunities. For nearly every American family struggling to get ahead, this budget makes it that much harder, if not impossible. The level of cuts to investments that the American people need is astonishing, and the consequences of these cuts, as Bernie said, are frankly immoral. The Trump administration makes all these harmful cuts for one simple, disgraceful reason: to try to hide the fact that their huge tax breaks for millionaires, corporations, and special interests will explode the debt. And they even do this in a dishonest way. This budget relies on absurd economic projections and pretend revenues that no credible economist would validate. It provides no real information on their tax reform other than to claim that it's revenue neutral. I guess this is the president's believe me part of his budget. If Donald Trump used these budgeting techniques in his business, not even the Russians would invest in his projects. With all due respect to the president, we aren't going to take his word for it, particularly when no one else will. We have been down this road before, more than once, and all the evidence proves is that tax cuts for corporations and the wealthiest Americans do not pay for themselves. Instead, they explode our deficit, rob our country of needed investments, and make those at the top even richer. This is not what the American people want or deserve. The American people do not want us pitting teachers against soldiers or choosing to update tanks over textbooks. They want us to ensure that our military and our American families both have the tools needed for success. In fact, that is our responsibility, and it's also our responsibility to invest in their future and help grow our economy. Education, health care, job training, innovation, and infrastructure, investments that help individuals with nowhere left to turn, and a tax code that helps families get ahead. These are American priorities, and they should be the priorities of the Congress. And now, the pleasure of interviewing, introducing,
I have a trick question. After hearing each of them speak, which one is from Brooklyn and which one is from Kentucky? Anyway, it's great to be here. I want to thank our leaders of the Budget Committee, Senator Sanders and Congressman Yarmouth, and thank to Leader Pelosi, who will be joining us shortly. Now, in case you haven't had time to review the president's budget, let me sum it up for you. The Trump budget takes a sledgehammer to the middle class and to working class Americans, lavishes tax breaks on the wealthy, and imagines all of the deficit problems away with fantasy math. This budget exists somewhere over the rainbow, where the dreams of Mick Mulvaney, Paul Ryan, and the Koch brothers really do come true. But of course, these dreams are a nightmare for the average working American. The Trump budget cuts transportation funding, education funding, programs that help students repay their student debt. One of the greatest burdens on middle-class kids, and something that's slowing the country's housing recovery. The Trump budget, which seeks more than $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid and health care, would decimate health care options for rural Americans, children, seniors, and pull the rug on many of our rural hospitals throughout the country. Now, earlier, our colleague, Senator Cornyn of Texas, stated that this budget is, quote, a proposal of the president's priorities. Well, if that's true, it's clear the president has prioritized breaking his promises to the working people of America. For example, on the campaign trail, he promised over and over again he wouldn't cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. With this budget, he cuts 2 out of 3. He cuts Social Security disability benefits and cuts Medicaid by $1 trillion. The great irony of the Trump agenda is it hurts many of the people who supported him in the campaign.
He doesn't care.
There is no clearer example of this irony than
Trump doesn't care. His minions,
when you add
his
it all
thugs,
up,
they don't
the Trump
care.
Budget is comic book villain bad. And just like comic books, it relies on fantasy to make all the numbers work.
Yeah.
It's the kind of budget you might expect from someone who is rooting for a government shutdown. I'm optimistic it'll be roundly rejected by both parties here in the Congress. The way that we can reach a funding agreement in September is to do what we did last month, work together on a bipartisan basis, reject this extreme budget, tell President Trump and Mick Mulvaney to stay out of the negotiations, and come up with a plan that will help the American people and create jobs here at home. Leader Pelosi.
Thank you very much, Leader Schumer. It's an honor to be here with you and the distinguished ranking member of the Senate Budget Committee, as well as the distinguished ranking member of the House Budget Committee. I associate myself with their...
And we're back now with the roundtable, and I have a feeling you guys are going to have a little different comments than Tom Bossert had about
that.
Yeah,
we will,
let's,
probably.
Let's look at it again. This happened just as we were ending our other roundtable. Okay, Anna, I got to start with you.
I'm a CNN commentator. I think that is unacceptable. I think that is the president of the United States taking things way too far. It is an incitement to violence. He is going to get somebody killed in the media. Maybe that will stop him. I am disappointed beyond belief by the answer that the Homeland Security Advisor just gave. What a wuss. What a wuss. You could see that he is ceding his principles. You are the Homeland Security Advisor, and you can't stand here and say the difference between right and wrong. That's what's part of the problem. He is surrounded by enablers that do nothing but shake their heads and nod their heads in agreement with everything that he says. They have got to stop. They have got to stand for democracy, for freedom of the press. This is just going way too far. The president of the United States is inciting violence against the free press. And America, we cannot stand for it.
I mean, it is just kind of theater of the absurd, right? I don't think any of us would have thought that this is something that the president, any president, would do. But in particular, it just comes, as you mentioned, right after the shooting of Steve Scalise, Republicans and Democrats said it's time to take the rhetoric down a notch. And this clearly does not do that.
And everyone that we spoke to on the Hill right after that incident said the president was actually quite good on that stage. He was reassuring. He called for the country to get together. He gave a really good speech and visited the hospital to see Steve Scalise. And now this, listen, I know a lot of people who work for CNN who have to be scared and wondering why the president has decided to physically pummel somebody with the CNN logo on his face. So it'd be interesting to get some reaction.
Nobody at CNN is scared. If anything, this is making each and every one of us more resolute not to cower at the bullying of this president. This is a free press. This is a free country. This is a democracy. And if he thinks that with these little tricks, he's going to scare Jeff Zucker, he's going to scare anybody at CNN, he's got something different coming. We are resolute at continuing searching the truth, speaking the truth, and calling out right versus wrong.
And I'm sitting here thinking now, what do Americans think when they look at that? What do those voters think who I talk to in Ohio? I know that when we talk about ourselves and we say, oh, it's terrible that he's going after the media, but that's pummeling somebody from CNN?
Well, I think that my guess is the president doesn't regard this as literally inciting people to violence.
I'm sure he thinks it's funny.
And I think that most people see it and they think pro wrestling is fake. Yeah. And they think that's sort of what he's getting at here.
No,
the problem
no.
is that it's more juvenile behavior. It's something that most people, including a lot of his own supporters, want him to quit doing, and he can't do it. You know, I didn't agree with the way Thomas Bossert was talking about this, but I think he's right that it is genuine in the sense that he is showing us genuinely who the president
Ramesh,
is.
This is not funny. Look, there's way too many.
I didn't say it was.
I know, but I mean, there's way too, and he can't think it's funny. There's way too many unstable people out in the streets right now at this time of impassioned and heightened passions. We all know it. We've all seen it. We have seen the results of harassment. We've seen the results of shootings. We've seen the result of violence out in the street. And for the president of the United States, who is supposed to be unifying this country on a July 4th, weekend, to be tweeting out incitement to violence. It is incitement to violence. Let us not parse words. Let us not call it by any other name. It is disgusting by this president. Yet one more disgusting act.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All righty. That was Anna Navarro. She's always on the mark. One of the things, she's a CNN commentator. You might have saw on the cable shows. She's a regular. One of the reasons why she's a regular on some of these shows, a lot of these shows, is because she's straightforward. She tells it like it is. She says what's on her mind. She doesn't parse her words. She comes out and tells it like it is, where a lot of these guests on the show, they don't do that. They try to act so statesman-like and try to be so smart and so pretty and so cute and all that stuff. But Anna, she just tells it like it is. She comes out and just hits Trump where he's supposed to be hit. And she's a Republican. She's not a Democrat. And I was shocked to find out that she's a Republican. I'm thinking maybe she's a Democrat, the way she was hitting Trump and being but she's a woman, and she knows that Trump has a problem with women. I mean, it's documented throughout his life. And she just comes out and she lays into his ass. And I like her, and I like, you know, having her, hearing her on the show. But, you know, as I've said, a lot of these other analysts who do these cable news shows, Sunday shows, they're not as direct and explicit as Anna Navarro. And that's why a lot of these moderators love having her on the show, because she says what they're thinking. She says what they cannot say or will not say. She comes out with it. And that's what I love about her. And that's what I, she's a Republican. I'm an independent, but I don't hate her because she's a Republican. She's seeing all of this disarray in the Trump administration, and she's reporting on it. And she's saying it like it is. He's a man child. He's disgusting. You know, she comes right out and say that. The majority of Americans are saying the same thing. He's disgusting. The only people who are not saying that Trump is disgusting are the people who are his enablers, which are the Republicans in Congress. You know, and we're going to clean house in 2018. But Anna Navarro, I mean, she just lays it right on the line. She doesn't parse her words. She doesn't hold back. She says what she says, and that's what they love, and that's why they're always having her on the show. I can go to cable television right now, and Anna Navarro would be on there some sort of way bashing Trump. I don't think she really wants to do this, want to bash Trump, but Trump is bashing America, and Trump is bashing her. One time she said, Trump is probably going to deport me because she was so hard on him. He probably would have if she if she wasn't illegal. Trump would have jumped on it and deported her. You know, I believe she's of Mexican descent, and he probably would have jumped on it and deported her, but he can't. Excuse me. Yeah, he would have. I mean, that's Donald Trump, you know. But Anna Navarro, I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody loves her, you know, because she's straightforward to the point. She doesn't parse her words. She says what she thinks. She says what's on her mind. She tells you what's wrong and what's right. While some of these other people on some of these shows, they have to, you know, parse their words, be careful how they say things, and you know, and they could lose their jobs. Of course, they got to be, you know, they want to appear like they're statesmanlike, political astute, and all this kind of thing. Anna Navarro just comes right out and just say it. He stinks. She comes right out and say it, where the other people on the panel, they're not going to say that. They're going to try to be all cutesy with their responses. But Anna Navarro, she comes out and she just lays it on the line. I mean, she lays it right there. He stinks. He's embarrassing. And this should not be happening in the United States. And that's what I love about her. She speaks her mind. And I try to speak my mind also on the show. You know, I mean, I say what I want to say on my show. I say how I say it how I want to. You know, I'm not. This show is not corporate. I mean, I'm not. I don't have corporate donors to the show. I don't have corporate supervisors or managers to my show. I can say what the hell I want on my show. You know, and Anna knows she can say what she wants on anybody's show. You know, if she says she don't like Trump, Trump is this, Trump is that, in a negative way, in a blasphemous way. I mean, she says it, and that's why people love to have her on the show. I think she's great. I think she's beautiful. You know, I mean, I'd rather have somebody on the show who's going to be blunt, straight to the point. No beating around the bush, not trying to be cutesy, you know, or diplomatic or statesmanlike. I mean, if you got something to say, you don't like something, come straight out and say it. You know, and that's what Anna Navarro is about. If you don't know her, she's a CNN commentator. If you don't have cable, you can always check her out on some of these YouTube channels. And it's riveting to hear her speak, especially when she's on a panel with three or four other people and she winds up or ends up speaking her mind while the others are holding back, you know, or while the others are. It's really nauseating watching some of these shows. And some of these guests on the shows who are Trump surrogates trying to take up for him, trying to defend him, and just outright lie. It kind of makes you want to throw up. You know, it really does make you want to throw up because these people are sitting here lying through their teeth, trying to defend this buffoon of a president, this clown of a president in the Oval Office who have. And these people, they have brought the White House, they have trashed the White House. As far as I'm concerned, other people, we have no respect for this White House. And it's a shame. I never disrespected the White House. I never disrespected any president, not even George W. Bush. But this maniac, this clown, this fool, this idiot, this buffoon, you just... where every day there is something coming out of this White House. Trump's pulling something out of his butt. And we have said several times, the reason why he pulls so much out of his butt every day, he's trying to get you, me, and the rest of the world to stop thinking about the Russian investigations into his Russian involvement and the people around him. Trump has incriminated himself so much. We just know he's guilty because if you've been following this, then you know Trump is incriminated. Somebody should tell, they probably have told him the definition of self-incrimination. I'm pretty sure he didn't know it at first or he wasn't listening. But he's guilty as all out sin. He doesn't need a jury. We don't need a trial on this. Trump is guilty because he basically told everybody that he's guilty by obstructing justice, by firing Comey and wanting to fire Robert Mueller. He's fired Revis Privis. He's fired Robert Flynn. I mean, the list goes on. You would think the White House is Celebrity Apprentice. You're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. But it's not. He can't keep firing people because there's a timeline for trying to, for Congress to try and approve some of these people that he wants to replace after firing someone. So if he tries to fire Robert Mueller and he does have the capacity to do that, Trump might as well sign his impeachment papers because that's an obstruction of justice, even though this guy works for him. Now, most presidents, if they were under investigation, especially if it was Obama, maybe even George Bush, Bill Clinton back in the day, they would probably say, bring it on, bring all the investigations on. I have nothing to hide. Not Trump. Trump basically said, I have everything. Get the hell away from here. I'm not telling you nothing. Trump, this guy is just an embarrassment to the United States of America. And it's just a shame that the Republicans in Congress is letting this reality show in the White House in America go on and on and on without and ignoring what their constituency are saying and what they want. The constituency are their voters of their dicks, of their states, the people. They are just ignoring that and saying that we and they're kissing Trump's behind. And this is why a lot of these guys, representatives and senators, when they go back home to their home state, they really get a earful from their constituency, from the voters who put their asses in office. But then they go right back to the White House. They go right back to Congress and vote the way they want to vote and not the way the people want them to vote who gave them their jobs. This is why I say November 2018 to vote these clowns out. If some of these senators are up for election, vote them out. But there's no doubt about it. All 435 representatives in the Congress will be up for re-election. Throw their asses out to the curb, because that's what they're doing to us, throwing us out on the curb and hoping we die, because they want to take away our health care. They want to take away our livelihood, things that we need to live. They want to take that away and laugh about it. It's funny to them. Kick you out in the street and they laugh about it. Throw dirt in your face and they laugh at it. You die. Hey, it's funny to them. Okay. So we have to vote these people out. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, even if you are a Republican, staunch Republican, and you've been a Republican all your life, and all of a sudden you decided you don't want to be a Republican anymore. A lot of people out there who feel that way. They're saying that this is the worst Republican White House and Congress that they've ever seen in their entire lives. And they renounce their conservatorship. They're no longer Republicans. Most are becoming independents. And that's what I am. I'm an independent. Don't ever call me a Republican. Do not call me a Democrat. I'm an independent. I look at both parties and say, hey, wow, criticize where I see fit. Yeah, I used to be a Democrat, but they had their problems too. So I said, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. And I became an independent. Right. And everybody in my household, I want them to be independents. Oh, okay. All righty. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's 7:18. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Amazon. I'm an author. I'm a writer. Yes, I do fiction. I've had some people tell me, George, why don't you do, since you talk politics all the time, most of the time, why don't you write a political book? You know, I'm not into writing about politics. I think there's 1,000, maybe 1,000,000 books out there about politics. There's nothing that I can probably say any different than some of those authors out there who already have said it. And there's political books being written every day, all the time. So that's my answer. So, you know, no, I'm not going to do a political book. I don't want to do that. I like writing fiction because I love doing fiction. I think it's, I've always had. I love making up stories, but a lot of my fiction, the books that I write, even though they're fiction, there's some truth in every story or every novel that I've written. There's some truth to some of the things. There's things that are true to life in a lot of my stories and my novelettes, you know. So, but to the point of writing a political book, no, I'm never going to do that. I think I did it once. I have to check my list. I've written so much and so extensive. I have to go back and check to actually see what I've written, you know. And no, I'm not going to do one in the future. I'm not going to do one ever. Yeah, like I said before, there's too many political books out there on the market. And they can, you know, say and write what I'm thinking and what you're thinking better than I could put a pen to it. So no, I'm not going to do a political book. I do fiction. I love doing fiction. And I don't write as much as I used to. I've slowed down a lot. I'm going to be slowing down more in 2018 for reasons. I'll get back later with you. Anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're but just about off the air at 7:21, and it's still a beautiful day in the city of Chicago, folks. I hope it's wonderful. I hope it's wonderful where you are. And I hope you're feeling good. I hope you're feeling great. I hope you're feeling wonderful. I hope you're thinking positive. And I hope you've enjoyed the show so far. It's 7:21 p.m. in Chicago time. Sent before 785-7172. It's right there on the screen. And like I said, we got a whole host of guests for the remaining week. And I'm going to be busy a lot during this week. And the first week of August, I'm gonna be pretty busy, and with the show also. But I love being busy. You know, I mean, it's just great. I love having something to do. So it's gonna be a busy week booking guests. I have to go and book guests for the show and. My son and I, we book guests for the show, and just like anything else, you know, I mean, you know, and it's fun. It's really fun calling the shots. It really is fun calling the shots. I mean, after I've been working for other people for so long, it's just great to call your own shots. You don't have supervisors or managers, whatever, breathing down your neck, threatening you and all of this stuff, and you're going to get fired if you don't be on time. It's none of that. And although when I work for other people, I think I was a model employee. I usually brought the best that I could give them, gave them the best. And most of the jobs I've had, they made me some sort of a supervisor or something. They felt that I had that kind of caliber. Anyway, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is 7:23. Boy, how time goes by. We got about 6 minutes left into the show. It has been great. I've enjoyed it, folks. I really enjoyed doing the show. I really enjoyed it. You're out there listening and you're anticipating, and I'm bringing you in on what is being done on the show, talked about or said on the show. And, that is so beautiful. That is so great. And one of the things I want to reiterate, vote, 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 vote. You want to take your country back, doing nothing. Do not sit around and wait for other people to fight your battles. Fight your own battles. Too many people do that. Sit back. Oh, this is not right. Oh, this is wrong. That's wrong. I don't know what to do. There's plenty to do. Do not sit back and take it. That's what the Republicans want. That's what people like that want. They feel that you're going to sit back and take it. You're not going to do anything. You're just going to take it. But why take it? If you have 1 ounce of breath in your body, you fight back. You just don't let the bullies just plummet you. Because if you don't fight back, the bullies are going to keep coming. When the bullies know that you're going to fight back and you're tough, they're going to leave you alone. Matter of fact, they may even become your best friend. But you got to show bullies that you're not going to stand up and just let them hit you or let them mistreat you. Or let them just bully you, period. You have to show them that you got the stamina not to take it. It doesn't have to be physical. You have to let them know that you have the stamina not to take their crap. And when you stand up to a bully, they stand down. This is why I say, do not sit back and take it, because the majority of these people in Congress are bullies. If they're Republicans, they're bullies. they're bullies. They're trying to tell you this and that, try to, and you somehow know it's wrong and it's not right. You know, you don't want to take everything these senators and representatives tell you. Paul Ryan is good at it. I mean, this guy sits on the, I mean, you see him on television in an interview. He talks like he knows more than anybody in the world. And he's the main one who wants to take you off your health care, take your Medicare, take your Medicaid, take your camps, take your rental assistance. But he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Sometimes he talks fast, he talks loud, but you got to catch him. Some people talk so fast that you can't really catch what they're saying. They sound good, they look good, but they're trying to rip you off at the same time. So you have to be conscious of that. Just because somebody look good, sound make them a good person.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Heaven help us all.
It's been great. It's been beautiful. Tune in tomorrow. We have a great guest to be on the show tomorrow, starting August. This year is going so fast, folks. It is really out of here. You know, 2017 is just about out of here. Winter's coming. I want to thank you for podcasting the show, saying all those nice and lovely things about the show, if I deserve it or not. Bye-bye, everybody.